I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about Henry Ford's Model T.
So grab your engine crank.
And let's get civical. Everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
She is. And I am Arden Walentowski.
She is. Mm-hmm.
We live another day.
We're living another day. We're living to see another day. What a blessing it is. A blessing.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed, hashtag what else is there to say? Hashtag it's October.
It is.
It's October. We're in spooky season.
We are.
Which we talked a little bit about last week and with our horror movie stuff. But like, spooky, spooky season is upon us.
It's upon
us. Do you have spooky plans for the spooky season?
We're planning a lot of movie nights.
Yes.
And what did we – so we figured out – last year, when we were in this period of time, we watched a lot of like various movies of the different horror franchises.
Yeah.
And at one point we watched not the most recent Halloween Ends, but the one before. Mm-hmm. And we started it and I was like, I feel like like we're coming in the middle of this movie. Now, granted, it's a large franchise, but I was like, I feel like we're missing very important information that's pertinent to the Halloween film that we are currently watching.
Mm-hmm.
And Caroline, my girlfriend, was like, I think so. I think I've seen it. I don't really remember what happens. Something about a fire. Because basically it was just Jamie Lee Curtis in the hospital, like yelling that Michael is back.
And you're like, how does she get in the hospital?
Right. I'm like, how is she in the hospital?
Yeah.
So anyway, we stopped watching that. And I watched the one before, caught up on the Halloween. And then we watched that one. And so now we're going back and like rewatching those for then Halloween Ends. We watched Hocus Pocus the other night in anticipation of the event last night. I didn't get very far.
Wait, did you watch Hocus Pocus 2?
We started it, but I think we only got like 15 minutes in and it was like 1 a.m. And we were like, let's go.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was talking with a friend because I mean, as you know, this whole time I've been very skeptical about Hocus Pocus 2. Like, no,
100%.
No tea of shade to the gals, but I'm very concerned that it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know if my little heart can take it, but I was talking to a friend and he was like, I think the move is to watch Hocus Pocus 2 first.
Oh.
Then palate cleanse with Hocus Pocus 1.
Right.
Because Hocus Pocus 1 I haven't watched yet because to me it's like too early in my season yet to do Hocus Pocus 1. I save it for like the tail end.
Got it.
But maybe that's how I'm going to do it this year because I just like – I think I'm going to be disappointed in Hocus Pocus 2. No spoilers.
Yeah. No spoilers. No.
That I will need – Hocus Pocus 1 to sort of like bring me back to life.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting point. Not that I wish that we had done that because I mean, I love Hocus Pocus. I will for sure watch it again before the spooky season is done. Yeah. I won't say, I mean, I only saw like the first, I don't even think it was 15 minutes, 10 minutes. So I'm not forming an opinion.
Yeah,
it's just different.
Like
it's just different. Like, yeah.
It's going
like,
to be different. It's going to be, I mean, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just... I know people will disagree with me, but I just don't think we needed it.
I don't think we needed it.
Lightning in a bottle with Hocus Pocus 1.
Yep.
And I think it could have just remained lightning in a bottle.
Yep. Yeah. You know? It's hard. Like sequels are risky. They're risky business. One of my beloved movies, Sister Act 2, an outlier in the sequel genre.
You're
because
right.
Because it was the first one is good. It's so good. But the second one capitalized on everything that was good about the first one. But it was still close enough to the first one that it was like still in the same. The thing that I'll say about like, and this has nothing to do with the content of Hocus Pocus 2, is that Hocus Pocus 1 is such a 90s movie.
Yeah.
It's a 90s Disney film.
Yeah.
It is not 1993 anymore. It's 2022.
No.
Films are made differently.
Yep.
Expectations of filmmaking is different.
The like so, youths like, are different.
Yeah.
Like, so, like no tea, no shade to the youths of Hocus Pocus 2.
Yes.
But in the trailers, I was like, no.
Yep. Yeah. I
want to see you edgy and in plaid.
Yes.
You know, like.
Yes. Yeah. Ugh. No. So it's just. Starting to watch Hocus Pocus 2, I was like, right, nothing about the content. Filmmaking is just different
now. It's just different.
And it feels different. And not that that's bad, but it's not, it does not feel like that 90s Disney.
Agreed. Flick. I think if I see a cell phone, I'm just going to throw myself out a window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure I will. And I'm sure I will because it is at the times. Like, you know, you have to make, you know, you can't. We can't make films as though they are in the 90s forever.
No.
But it just –
no.
It's just hard. Change is just hard.
It's
just
hard.
Getting older is hard. And I feel like Hocus Pocus 2 makes me feel like I've gotten older.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like, I don't think I needed to feel like this. Period.
I don't think I needed to throw it in my face that I am
I don't think I needed to throw it in my face in this way.
Thank you.
Nevertheless, it's spooky season, and so we are doing an episode that has nothing to do with spooky season.
No!
Because we can talk about whatever we want to talk about, and then hard right into the actual episode of the day.
Exactly.
Which is about, this is Arden's pick, I'm so delighted. It's about Henry Ford's Model T. The car!
I'm so excited.
We've never done anything like this before. I'm actually thrilled.
No. Yeah. I saw this, like, I was looking at, you know, because we try and match the episode to, like, a moment in history and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, Henry Ford's Model T. It's definitely American, A.
So American.
So American.
Doesn't get any more American.
No. And something that fundamentally changed American culture and American culture, American life. And I was like, it's not really civics, I guess, but it's such a huge part of our world and our economy. And like, how could we even have a life without affordable cars?
Right.
You know, affordable transportation in the form of vehicles.
Correct. A sort of like fun fact off the top.
Ooh.
My aunt, whom I love very much, she has a like refurbished, I think it's a Model T.
It's
very close to the Model T if it's not exactly the Model T.
Yeah.
And she calls it Honey Child.
Honey Child.
Honey
Aww.
Child.
That's
but
so
yeah,
cute.
She like got it during the pandemic and like was having it refurbished
what?
And like didn't tell anybody. And so a couple months ago, she like sent a picture through and was like, look at my new thing. And we were like, what?
Because
it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Like these cars are like works of art. They're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And yeah, it like works. She drives it around. Just
what?
Like crank it to get it started. Yeah. So when I go to visit her, she lives kind of in like the Rochester area.
Okay.
She's going to take me on a ride in Honeychild.
Oh my God. I want to go.
I know.
Oh
I was
God.
Like, this is the coolest thing in the world. Like
that's really cool.
What an amazing thing to spend your money on.
Oh my God. And to refer. Yeah. I mean, how do you
it's
even.
It's fully functional. It's like fully like.
What?
It's in pristine. I mean, from what I can tell from pictures, it's like in pristine condition.
Wow.
So I'll have to ask her what the exact model is. I think it's a T. But there was like a Model A. There's a Model T. There's a couple of different models. But they all kind of like.
Yeah.
The bodies looked pretty similar. I think it was the engines that might have been different. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass now. But yeah. All that to say.
Oh, so good.
That's my fun fact.
Oh,
it's not
I
even
love
my fun
that.
Fact. It's like my family member's fun fact that I get to appropriate because we're related.
That's right. You know what? She's not here to tell. And if she was, you would hand her the mic.
Yeah. She'd be, I mean, yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah. I'm so excited about this. There's something about like this time period and like it feels like, and especially with like the design and creation of the Model T, which made cars basically ubiquitous. It feels like, you know, like a landing on the moon moment, that that kind of major change.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, it wasn't just Henry Ford who like was making the Model T, but he had, you know, other people like engineers and whatever, but it was his idea and he worked on it. And like this one dude, and he's got some faults and we'll talk about them.
Oh, we'll talk about them.
Yeah.
All tea, all shade with Henry Ford.
but, you know, it was just one dude like tinkering in the back of his garage. Like, let's try and make a car.
Well, and it's also such like the impact, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Because you're not going from like, you know, a car that doesn't run very well to like a better functioning car. You're literally going from like horse and buggy.
Mm-hmm.
To vehicle.
Right.
Like.
Right.
The jump is drastic.
Drastic.
Like, I can't even. I think the only other, like, thing that's like this is going from land to air travel. Of how, like, how much of an impact it is on.
Right.
How we get to and from places. You know? To go from, like, having to take a boat across the Atlantic. To flying. It's like, what?
What?
You mean I can't die at sea anymore? That's crazy.
Crazy.
That's crazy that we've taken that off of the plate.
Yeah, that's basically what it's like. I mean, he single-handedly put the horse business out of business.
Out of business. Bye.
Out of business. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Horse industry, decline.
Decline, decline. And honestly, for the best, because those horses were definitely not treated well. So I'm glad we've taken them out of the out of the running of this.
Exactly. So the sources for today are history.com.
Of course.
Ford. Proper. Well, Ford, proper, obviously.
Like Ford.com.
Ford, like corporate.ford.com, something like that. And then this website that I'm not really sure what it is. I normally wouldn't include one like this, except it had a lot of information.
Great.
It's called Silodrome, and it seems to be a website dedicated to all things that consume gasoline. And I don't really understand. I like spent some time not on the Henry Ford related page, on the pages that were not related to Henry Ford, because I was just trying to figure out what this website is about. And I like, they sell t-shirts. One of them says drive cars older than you. To me, it seems to be some kind of
like classic cars dedicated type of place.
Maybe, but like even it, the like tag thing on the top of the website says Silodrome, gasoline culture. I don't really know.
Here's the thing, everyone. We are
it was very helpful.
Coming in having no relationship to cars. No. Although we do both own a car.
We do both own a car.
But that's it. You know what I mean? Like there's no, we don't have car knowledge. We don't have classic car knowledge. I think this means something to somebody because this is a whole world.
It's a whole world.
Car lovers are they're a whole vibe.
But it's not even just cars. I'm so interested in this website. If you know what Silodrome
machinery,
it's like cars, motorcycles, boats, planes, films, gear, clothing, art. I really have no idea. I'm obsessed with this website now.
We love it.
That's it. Gasoline fan club. So that's where some of these notes are coming from. It was a very helpful website. It was great.
Yeah.
It was just as helpful as the Ford website. I was like, of course you know. You're into gasoline.
We are open to all sources, and today is no different.
Today is no different. Would you like to start us off?
I will start us off with simply what was the Model T. So let's get that out of the way for those of you who don't know or are not familiar, because you don't have to be familiar with this. The Model T, sold by the Ford Motor Company from 1908 to 1927, was the earliest effort to make a car that most people could actually buy. Modern cars were first built in 1885 in Germany by Carl Benz of Mercedes-Benz. And the first American cars in Springfield, Massachusetts in 1893 by Charles and Frank Duryea?
Yes.
Duryea? Sorry if I'm saying that wrong to my car lovers. But just because they were available didn't mean that ordinary people could afford them. These are very expensive cars. Everybody else is doing horse and buggy and or walking.
Right.
And or their own two legs.
Mm-hmm.
The Model T was actually affordable, and it became so popular at one point that a majority of Americans owned one, directly helping rural Americans become more connected with the rest of the country and leading to the numbered highway system, to influence infrastructure that we still have today.
Seriously. Crazy. Crumbling as it is.
We still have it today.
Yeah.
The manufacturing needs of the Model T went hand in hand with Ford's revolutionary modernization of the manufacturing process. So it's like everything is made the same and there's like a conveyor belt and it's like putting a puzzle together the same way every time. Yeah. To do mass production.
Yeah.
I have a Ford, if that means anything. Oh. My Ford Fiesta,
Ford Fiesta. I have a Nissan.
Okay. Because you're not an American.
No.
What is Nissan? German?
I don't know.
Is Nissan American? Hold on.
I thought it was Japanese. But
probably Japanese. It's probably Japanese.
Let me see. Japan.
Okay.
Japan. Yeah, you know what? The Japanese make good cars.
They do make great cars. And they make like great cars. No tea, no shade. Honestly, and no tea, no shade to German cars.
No.
Who else makes a car? Italy?
Is that a Lamborghini?
Yeah, Italy is like the more, the Fiats.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Like the sleek. More sleek. Sleek. Or little cars.
Yeah. So why make the Model T? As Lizzie has said, you know, we were doing horse buggies and legs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we wanted more. Henry Ford's Model T was the visionary breakthrough that brought motor vehicle ownership to millions of ordinary middle-class people and opened up a new era of mobility for people and goods. In an era when the horse and the railroad reigned supreme as the means of land transport, the Model T had to overcome a host of obstacles in order to obtain the success it enjoyed. The turn of the 19th century to the 20th century was an era when roads were mostly dirt tracks traversed by horses pulling carts, wagons, stagecoaches, and the occasional, quote, Surrey with a fringe on top.
Surrey with a fringe on top. That's not how the song goes. It goes something differently, but I'm not going to sing it. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine these, like, roads that just had, like, horse hooves and, like, divots in them. And then you're trying to, like, bring a Model T, like, like, I'm sure they were crashing left and right.
Right.
Because also people don't know how to drive.
No, people don't know how to drive. Yeah. Like, this is, nobody has been behind the wheel of a car. And yet here we are driving up these dirt roads. And it's just like,
okay, now we're going to drive a car into a tree. Like, were there rules? I'm sure there's rules. I'm sure only, like, men could drive.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And also, like, they didn't have things like licenses or insurance. Like, just out there wilding with Model Ts.
Yeah.
Automobiles, like Lizzie said, had been around for a couple decades, but were so expensive and rare and more temperamental than the average horse. Well, yes.
You know what they say about me. I'm more temperamental than the average horse. That's what they've always said about me.
That Lizzie Stewart, you know what? She's more temperamental than the average horse.
And they're right. Mm-hmm. And they're right.
It's going to go on your gravestone.
Yes.
Beloved. More temperamental. And then just a picture of a horse.
Perfect.
Yeah. The technological expertise for maintaining a vehicle powered by an internal combustion engine was not widespread. And the supply of fuel and oil was also not widespread either.
So problem.
Right. So like... cars were expensive. They broke down all the time. Your horse is fine as long as you give it water and hay or whatever they eat, carrots, I don't know. But the cars kept breaking down and then they didn't have gas and oil to make them run.
Yeah. And
so
it's not like you can just go and get that.
No. Because you got to take your horse.
Well, you have to take your horse. But also it's like, even if you drive to where are you going to go to get fuel? If cars aren't really a thing, you know, you're probably going to have to import it yourself and keep it, like, at your house and just hope that you're not traveling far. Like, you know, you have enough to get back to the house to refuel.
Right.
Or you bring it with you, I guess, which is wildly unsafe.
Wildly unsafe. I know. Could you just imagine, honey, the fuel delivery is here. Just, okay, have them put it out back.
And there's just, like, barrels.
When we think about the environment in which Henry Ford decided to market his automobiles, we can see that he took an enormous risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gamble paid off, and the Model T would prove to be successful far beyond what most people, including Henry Ford, could have hoped for or expected. Yeah, he literally changed.
Yeah, blew up. It's like the cell phone. It was like, holy moly, this changed the fabric of society.
Yes. What if we couldn't drive and didn't have cell phones? What if it was happier. 1850 is what I'm saying.
What if the year was 1850? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably be dead. I've just had too many illnesses. You know what I mean? Like, it's so clear that I was meant for a 21st century life. Otherwise, you know, it's not it.
You would just always have strep throat.
I would always have strep throat. You're right. Yep. You're right.
And, like, probably scurvy from, like, the vitamin C deficiency or something like that. Yeah.
Easy. Dysentery? I hardly know her.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
All right, let's talk about designing the Model T. So what she actually looked like, you know? By day, he was chief engineer at Edison Illuminating Company of Detroit, but at night, Henry Ford labored over a gasoline engine. Okay, chief engineer at Edison. So, like, I mean, that's a thing. Henry Ford is brilliant.
Yeah,
he's... Putting aside all other things.
Yeah.
He is a genius.
He is a genius.
He successfully tested one on Christmas Eve, 1893, with the help of his wife, Clara, taking a break from Christmas cooking. You know what? Shout out to Clara, because I guarantee you that he was tinkering around, and she probably said something along the lines of, hey, why don't you try this? And then it worked.
And then it worked. And she gets
so
no
credit.
So you
know what?
Yeah.
Shout out to Clara Ford, because
yes,
I bet you she is the reason we have cars now. Because he was probably super frustrated,
right,
and unable to think straight. And she was like, why don't you try, you know, nudging it a little to the left? And then
it's probably very similar to that scene in Christmas Vacation where Clark cannot figure out why the lights won't turn on.
Right.
And Beverly D'Angelo's character is like, the light switch.
The light switch.
It wouldn't have worked without her. It wouldn't have worked without her.
So this is Christmas Eve. Clara has figured out the problem. The engine worked for 30 seconds, long enough to confirm for Ford that he was on the right track. 3 years later, Ford developed the quad cycle, a self-propelled vehicle. After two failed business ventures, the Ford Motor Company was born on June 16, 1903. The Ford Motor Company's first car was the Model A of 1903. Ford Motor Company had been born and work began on the creation of an automobile that ordinary people would be able to afford that would be reliable and capable of dealing with the dirt roads and harsh conditions that it would face in rural America.
Mm-hmm.
The production of the Model T was preceded by 8 car models through which Ford developed various aspects that would eventually come together as the Model T. So we had the Model A, we had the Model B, we had the Model C, we had the Model D. I actually don't know if those are the actual names. There's like different, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like refining to bring us the Model T, which I think I can say is probably the most successful of all of his like early models.
Yeah.
Official Model T development began in January 1907 when Ford assembled a team comprised of engineer Childe Harold Wills, machinist C.J. Smith, and draftsman Joseph Galam in his small Detroit factory on Piquette Avenue. So, wow. So he really gets the ball rolling in like 3 or so years. He's like got the Ford Motor Company. He's got like 4 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we're going to make magic happen.
Yep.
Let's go.
Let's roll.
Let's literally start your engines.
It goes like this.
That's us cranking the cars.
That's what it sounds like in my mind. Mm-hmm. So then they move on to production. So they've designed the Model T. They've found a way to make it cheaper so that people can actually buy it.
Mm-hmm.
We move to production. The Model T was introduced to the world in 1908. Henry Ford wanted the Model T to be affordable, simple to operate, and durable.
What a mission statement. It's like, I want this to be cheap, easy to use, and long-lasting.
Right. Sounds like a trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
The vehicle was one of the first mass production vehicles, allowing Ford to achieve his aim of manufacturing the universal car. The Model T was manufactured on the Ford Motor Company's moving assembly line at Ford's revolutionary Highland Park plant. Due to the mass production of the vehicle, Ford Motor Company could sell the vehicle for between $260 and $850 as Henry Ford passed production savings on to his customers. Yes!
Yes.
Yes!
Yeah.
And you know what? The dude still made money. He still made money. He wasn't like, let me keep the savings. I'm going to charge everybody $1,500.
No.
No.
Because he was probably like, more. I will be able to get more sales.
Right.
For making this less money.
Right.
It's genius.
Genius.
Capitalism. We love it.
Love it. I also love that $260 is the amount of a car payment.
Yeah.
That is the amount of
It's payment. $260 in 1907.
I know. So that's, I was just like, boof.
I mean, it's still expensive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The Model T was first tested by Henry Ford himself, who took the vehicle on a hunting trip to Wisconsin in northern Michigan. I love it. Can you imagine rolling up into the forest in your Model T?
Beep, beep.
The Model T became famous for the stunts it could perform, including climbing the stairs of the Tennessee State Capitol.
Hell yeah. Okay, Rocky. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da. Wait, is that it?
Is it the... I don't know. I've never seen Rocky.
That's the final countdown. Is that the Rocky music? No, wait. Hold on. Hold on. This is going to drive me crazy. Oh, what is he running up the stairs to?
I have no idea.
We have to look it up.
This is beyond.
Because that,
My expertise.
Rocky music. Hold on. It's not the final countdown. That's what I was doing. Hold on. Just shut up. Oh my God. There's an ad. Hold on. A 15-second ad? That's a crime. Oh my God. Dun 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 dun. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's where he's climbing the stairs.
The stairs. I think you should put that in the Instagram post. Can you put music in a post?
Probably, yeah. Probably. So sorry. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, it was going up being like. Bah, 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 bah.
He's rocking up the Tennessee State Capitol steps in his Model T, which just sounds amazing to see. And reaching the top of Pike's Peak. After the test of his own product, the vehicle was shipped to its first customer on October 1st, 1908. Literally today is the anniversary of the day that we are recording.
This is not the day it's coming out, but it is the day we are recording.
Yeah.
Wow. Happy anniversary to the first Model T leaving HQ to go to a customer.
Yep.
1908.
How do you think they shipped it? Do you think they drove it? There's no way to ship it.
I think it depends on where it is, but I imagine they probably put it on a train.
Oh,
because at the time it was like that's how you'd ship large items, or like if you were or by ship, like literally ship it.
I was like, there's no trucks. There's no, because I just was thinking of that, like, you know, you see them on the highway, like the huge things that have all the cars that look precariously placed. Yeah.
They might have like driven it to the thing and then loaded it onto a train.
Right. And then somebody came and picked up the guy who drove it on their horse.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I can't imagine it was easy shipment. So let's talk more about the Model T herself. So the revolutionary vehicle saw the placement of the steering wheel on the left side, allowing passengers easy access to and from cars. So that's obviously the side that it's the driver's side, which is what we have now, except if you live in the UK
and
other areas. The vehicle was also the first to have its engine block and the crankcase cast as a single unit. It was the first to have a removable cylinder head for easy access and the first to make such extensive use of the lightweight but strong alloy known as vanadium steel.
Wow.
I bet vanadium steel means something to someone.
Mm-hmm. It probably means something to the same people that Cylindrome means something to.
Yes. The Model T's agile transmission made shifting gears easy for everyone. These improvements and innovations allowed the world to move towards a more urban way of life. The early Model T came with a toolkit, packed the gas tank under the front passenger seat, provided a windshield as an option before it became standardized, and had to be cranked to get it going. I mean, I guess like a windshield wasn't necessarily like a thing people necessarily needed or like thought that they would want.
Right. I guess because how would you, because it's going faster than a horse.
It's going faster than a horse, but it's like a lot of
to have it
insulated is not necessarily a good thing because of heat. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like air, because obviously there's no like AC or regulated temperature.
Right.
So to have some type of opening for like airflow.
Right.
Was probably preferable to people living in certain areas versus, you know, like being all cooped up and, you know, I mean, hello, we've all seen Titanic. Like those things get hot.
Hot and steamy.
Hot and steamy.
I guess I just have been thinking, my immediate thought about not having a windshield is bugs in your face when you're going very quick, when you're going more quickly than on a horse having been on jet skis, like just the water, the spray, you know, when it's raining, it fucking hurts. So yeah,
well, I don't think these are meant to be driven when it's raining.
That's true. Because you know what? They didn't really have stops or signs.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is true. It's not like, honey, I'm going down to the grocery store. You need anything? I'm just going to hop in the Model T.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's thundering. It's thunder and lightning, rainstorm. But you know what? We need milk.
We need milk. We have to have
We need milk. Yeah.
A common myth is that all Model Ts were black. While Henry Ford did say, quote, any customer can have a car painted any color that he wants so long that it's black, end quote, the policy was in place solely for the efficiency and uniformity. So basically, he's like, we're going to make them all black because if we have to change the color, it slows down production. And the whole thing is about making this like as quick and as many units as possible.
Yeah.
The car was only offered in black from 1914 to 1925. However, before and after that, various models of the vehicle could be purchased in a variety of colors, including blue, red, green, and gray. So I think Ford was like, no, only black. And then there was like some exceptions.
Right. He was like, okay.
I'm sure if you had enough money, you could get anything you wanted.
Right.
The vehicle also became famous for its unique nickname. Oh my God. I did not know this.
I didn't know it either, but I gave it to you. It's special.
Its unique nickname, and I'm not joking, was the Tin Lizzie. Okay, that's what's going on my headstone.
Tin Lizzie.
Mm-hmm. T-I-N-L-I-Z-Z-I-E. Mm-hmm. Spelled like my name.
Spelled like your name.
Why? Okay, let's find out. There are various accounts of how this nickname was acquired by the Model T. Possible origins include the popularity of the female name Lizzie during that period to a famous Model T race car named Old Liz. Despite the popularity of the nickname Tin Lizzie, the Model T had dozens of nicknames. Okay.
We don't need to talk about
chop.
No.
I think the Tin Lizzie is a great name.
Great name.
What do you drive? I drive a Tin Lizzie. Oh my God, me too. Same. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. You were famous way before you even knew it.
I know. I was. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've lived so many lives. Shout out to all my Tin Lizzies out there. What? I see you.
Mm-hmm. The Model T was so popular, Henry Ford once said, that, quote, there's no use trying to pass a Ford because there's always another one just ahead.
Okay. Look,
he's a man of wit. I'll give him that. He's a man of wit.
Mm-hmm.
By the early 1920s, more than half of the registered automobiles in the world were Fords. More than 15 million Model Ts were built and sold.
Yeah.
All was not hunky-dory.
It never is, is it?
It never is. It always sounds like it's real great. And then there's always something going on the underbelly.
Yeah, and it's always almost this thing that you're about to say.
Yeah.
It's like, when in doubt, it's probably this.
Ford began to adopt anti-Semitic views, and the Model T was used to spread them.
Isn't that something? It's like if you look back in like these kind of major figures in history,
yeah,
9 times out of 10, they're anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys.
Come on.
All the same thing?
Right.
Mm-mm.
Ford's anti-Semitism was mainly expressed through the Dearborn Independent, which he purchased in 1919.
Which I assume was a
newspaper.
Newspaper, yeah.
Also, known as the Ford International Weekly, dealers were required to sell a subscription with each Model T, helping it reach a circulation topped only by the New York Post. That's fucked up. Many dealers unhappy with this arrangement complained and tried to circumvent the policy.
Yeah, because basically they're being forced to spread anti-Semitic views.
Right.
Like, literally being forced.
Yeah.
Because the owner's a jerk.
Right, the owner's a jerk. Because you go to buy a car. Imagine if you went to go buy your car and the dealer was like, okay, cool. But you also have to buy, I don't know, a subscription to this hate mail.
Mm-hmm. It's literally, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's literally... Yeah. And imagine.
Like, I'll take some my niece of
those,
on.
Some of those customers were Jewish.
Jewish. Oh, yeah.
So you're just like, what? Yeah. Yeah. Y'all, we really gotta, oh, man. We've scratched the surface on a lot of problematic areas of our history, but we have yet to really scratch the surface on our own history with anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
That is, like, hugely problematic.
Yeah.
And still exists today.
Right.
And it makes me upset.
Yeah.
So note to us, we'll be scratching.
We'll be scratching.
The surface of this more.
Yeah. So Henry Ford, anti-Semitic, spreading his anti-Semitic views by selling cars and subscriptions to his horrible newspaper. And then the production of the Ford ended, unrelated to his anti-Semitism, I think, on May 26, 1927. Henry Ford and his son Edsel ceremoniously drove the last Model T out of the factory and into the history books. How poetic. At that point, no less than 15 million Model Ts had been produced, a number likely to have been much larger than even Henry Ford might have anticipated back in 1908 when they were turning out 11 cars per month.
Yeah. Talk about a blow up.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And now we have Ford Fiestas, which I'm sure is what
I'm sure that Henry he Ford saw that coming. Mm-hmm.
When he designed the Model T, he's like, one day there's going to be a car that's like a party and it's going to be called the Ford Fiesta. And there's going to be a gal named Lizzie, Tin Lizzie. Who's going to be driving one.
You know what? You know what's going to happen? Girls are going to drive cars.
Can you believe it? girls who are marrying Jews are going to buy cars and then drive them. I am Henry Ford's nightmare.
Oh, my God. Girls who marry Jews are going to buy his cars and drive them. Oh, my God.
I'm his nightmare. That's amazing. I am Henry Ford's worst nightmare. And
you
that,
are.
That is something I feel so good about. I feel so good about.
I love that.
There's nobody I would rather be hated by than Henry Ford. So shout out to everybody but Henry Ford. Because that's the end of our Model T episode. And to celebrate this episode, I'm about to drive from one spot in Bushwick to another spot in Bushwick in my Ford. Not
Great.
Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Great.
One spot in Brooklyn to another spot in Brooklyn in my Ford. And that's the only way I can think to celebrate.
That's great.
This episode.
That's great.
But in the meantime, we love you so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much. And we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.